From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, full moon open lines for the program, so get ready. Special hotline for you as well. Well, here's some news. In the Philippines, officials worried that a reduction in gases coming from a volcano could mean something has blocked the flow inside the crater, and that means that raises the chances of an explosive eruption. Then again, they say it could mean that the volcano was simply taking a brief break, they hope, after a flurry of activity, leading scientists to raise the alert level on Monday, warning that an eruption was imminent. The number of people moved from 25 villages near Manila has now risen to 40,000, with more ready to go quickly in the event of a massive explosion. Our friend Artis out in those neck of the woods, as you well know. Alaska Governor Frank Murkowski instituted a state hiring freeze because of the millions of dollars Alaska is losing in tax revenue and royalties due to the oil field shutdown. The governor also said that he would direct the attorney general to investigate the state's right to hold BP, the old British Petroleum name, fully accountable for losses to the state. Murkowski made the announcement 3 days after BP said it would shut down the Prudhoe Bay oil field after a small leak was found. Energy officials have said the pipeline repairs are likely to take months. They plan to replace 16 miles of the 22 miles of pipeline. The expected loss of 400,000 barrels per day at today's oil prices means the state is losing $6.4 million a day in tax revenue. Physicist James Van Allen, you've heard us talk about him before. You've heard that name. A leader in space exploration who discovered the radiation belt surrounding the Earth that now bear his name has died, 91 years old. The University of Iowa, where he taught for years, announced the death in a statement on its website. Israeli troops and armored vehicles are beginning a massive push toward the Lebanon border, making the start of a new ground offensive aimed at neutralizing Hezbollah's rocket launching capabilities, which haven't stopped. Already today, Hezbollah has launched another 160 rockets into Israel. Israel also launched an airstrike on Lebanon's largest Palestinian refugee camp, killing at least two people. The camp is home to about 75,000 Palestinian refugees and their descendants who were displaced by the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. And the Hezbollah chief, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, has warned that southern Lebanon will become a graveyard if Israel continues its attacks and attempts to occupy the region. Nasrallah also warned all Arabs to leave the Israeli port city of Haifa so the guerrilla organization could step up attacks without fear of shedding the blood of fellow Muslims. As we reported a few days ago, there were 11 missing Egyptian exchange students in the United States. They were headed for a program in Montana. Three of the Egyptian students sought, along with eight others now who failed to show up for an exchange program, have shown up. They were taken into custody. A 21-year-old was taken into custody in Minnesota on what was termed an administrative immigration violation. That's a Well, it's close to Montana, but, you know, he got his directions wrong. Two other students turned themselves into authorities in New Jersey. Well, the FBI maintains that they pose no terrorism threat, but I'm not sure about this. And we're checking in a moment with Douglas Hagman, who heads up a website, Homeland Security U.S., does not have anything to do with Homeland Security other than Douglas has incredible contacts with that agency. And also, you might remember Dr. Louis Turi on our program several weeks ago said that on August 9th, he expected some major news about nuke news, as he calls it. Well, there was the major story yesterday where the Princeton University professor wrote in the Wall Street Journal that he believes August 22nd may indeed be a very, very dangerous date. And he thinks that it could include Iranian nukes. So I'm going to give Turi a hit only because nuke news is exactly what happened. So in a moment, Douglas Hagman, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Douglas Hagman is a veteran private investigator, more than 20 years of experience working for Fortune 500 companies. He is a member of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association, holding many law enforcement-related certifications, and is the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, a private intelligence and data gathering organization working to educate all of us on the threat of terrorism. We're going to talk with Douglas this hour about the Egyptian students. A very strange story, Douglas Hagman, isn't it?
It sure is, George, and thank you very much for having me back. It's great to be with you.
Sure thing. Now, 11 missing students a few days ago. Three of them have now been found. Eight still wandering around the United States. Why haven't they shown up in Montana for this exchange program?
Well, you know, Montana is kind of hard to find.
Right.
Seriously, that's a great question, and there are a lot of questions surrounding this issue. They arrived in this country, in New York, at JFK Airport on July 29th. There were actually a group of 17 students from Mansoura University in Cairo, and six of them ultimately made, six of these young Arab men from the university, now they're all aged between 18 to 22, again, they were scheduled to travel to Montana State University from JFK on July 29th. 11 did not make it. They were reported as no-shows, and they were reported on August 3rd as no-shows and entered into the SEVIS system, which is an acronym for the Student and Exchange Visitor Information mm-hmm. System. Now, the FBI, 2 days later, and only 2 days later, issued a BOLO, Be on the Lookout for these 11 students. This BOLO was limited to law enforcement agencies throughout the country. But it's interesting that although the FBI has denied any links to terrorism or any problems with these 11 or anticipated problems with these 11 students, or now eight, three have been captured, the initial BOLO and current law enforcement papers show or urge anyone to approach these individuals with caution. And it's just very unusual. Out of all the illegal aliens that have entered this country in the last 12 days, why these 11?
And why right around now, where there's so much talk about the possibilities of terrorism, not only abroad, of course, but in this country? You probably saw the Wall Street Journal story of the Princeton University expert, who Bernard Lewis, who talked about August 22nd as being an ominous date. A date for Muslims to basically express themselves, and he believes that could be a serious date to watch for the possibility of some kind of nuclear situation.
You're exactly right. I did see that, and that comes from intelligence from actually originated initially from the president of the Syria's Reform Party, but that is the conclusion. Notably, the conclusion supposedly of what they classify as an inevitable historical process, and that is the culmination of the ushering in of the Mahdi, and it's just Ahmadinejad had stated, according to the sources that we have, that
the Iranian president,
right, that he was going to respond to the atomic referendum, and also display a public answer to that referendum on or about the 22nd of August. So there's a lot of there's a lot of things to watch over there, especially with in light of the current Middle East situation.
Now, the situation, again, with the Egyptian exchange students, they found three of them. Assuming they knew the other eight, I would guess that our FBI and other law enforcement will really get some information out of these people, huh?
One would expect that. Now, I have to say this. To my knowledge, I think we're the only website that has the photographs along with their names. For some reason, the FBI did not initially release the photographs.
Yeah, they're starting to get out now.
Okay.
Finally.
Okay, that's good. But I find that rather interesting. It took well over a week and a half for these pictures and even the names to get out, which usually, customarily, once a BOLO is issued to the public, it only takes a matter of hours. And in this case, it took really too long of a time. So that's something that we're looking at too. You know, why the delay in reporting this? Why the delay in identifying these students and also showing their pictures?
Good question. Good question. What's your gut tell you about all this, Douglas?
Well, I think right now we're looking at a very tenuous time period between now and the end of August. I think that we're seeing a confluence of events both in the Middle East and also here in this country. I would be very, very on guard over the next 24 to 48 hours throughout the country, and especially, throughout the end of the month, throughout the end of August, just because, again, of the convergence of events that we're talking about, the August 22nd date, the Iranian president related to the August 22nd date, the discussions of Hezbollah, the threats by Hezbollah to really enhance the conflict and Israel's response to that statement by Nasrallah, which you referenced earlier, and just the domestic outlook from what we're getting, there's just a lot of chatter that suggests that this is going to be a very very difficult time and a very busy time.
Well, Douglas, you and I both know, I mean, it's just a matter of time. It always was that something was going to happen here. Might not be, knock on wood, and hope to God that the catastrophe that may occur won't be as widespread and as large as 9/11. But you never know, because if radiological or other kinds of nukes are involved, we're talking very serious business here. But sadly, Douglas, I mean, this tension here in the Middle East is going to filter into the United States, and it's only a matter of time. We've got several cities here in this country that have huge Middle Eastern populations, and some of those people, there's no question about it, are sleeper cells. And I don't know what has taken so long for any kind of situation to occur.
You know, that's very interesting. We've had a lot of discussions on that. I mean, there is a structure of Hezbollah cells and Al-Qaeda cells in this country. It's been admitted by the federal government and the FBI and the sources that we talk to. The sleeper cells are very prevalent throughout the country, and especially where you're dealing with, a lot of money, a lot of financial support originating from this country to terrorist cells overseas. So this country is a very active area of terrorism and support for terrorism. So we have to be very conscious of the fact that, you know, we've got the five-year anniversary of 9/11 coming up here in about a month. We've got the Middle East situation. We've got the fact that Hezbollah is really had two generations, or really a generation or a quarter of a century to really embed themselves in this country. The same with Al-Qaeda, the same with the different factions of Islamic militancy. You know, we've got a serious problem here. Since 9/11, too, we haven't addressed the fact that since 9/11 alone, by the government's own statistics, over 250,000 illegal aliens across the border between the United States and Mexico. That's according to the Border Patrol statistics. That's a small army. It's just incredible. So we've got a lot of things we have to look out for, and you know, it seems to be really things are stepping up currently.
As we talk right now, Douglas, apparently in England they have arrested several terrorists that apparently had planned to blow up flights from the United Kingdom to possibly the United Nations. I want to get some more information on that, but that's a story that's breaking right now as we speak. And as you well know, in Great Britain, they raised their level. They've got their own color scheme now, a scheme I still don't believe in, but they've raised theirs to almost severe a couple days ago.
That, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if something like that wouldn't happen here. Just because, again, because of all the events that we're seeing and all the chatter, I don't like the word chatter as a descriptive term, but everything that we're seeing right now does suggest that there is a heightened level of activity, both covert and overt activity in this country. You know, things that you really don't hear about, the purchase of bulk purchases of cell phones, both for fundraising purposes and also to be used as remote control detonators for IEDs. They're sent overseas and you know, killing our troops or used against our troops. A lot of these things are coming out in the open right now, and I'll tell you what, So the breaking news about the flights, if in fact they have intercepted these or identified these as potential hazards, absolutely. I got to tell you that this is within the plans of Al-Qaeda and other Islamic militant terrorist groups.
Mike Wallace interviewed exclusively the president of Iran, and they're going to play it on 60 Minutes. And his basic quotes were, I'm talking about Mike Wallace now, he's saying, pretty impressive man. Very well educated, very smart. He seemed enamored with the fellow.
I read that, and I had to read that a couple of times because I wasn't sure he was, you know, really referencing the same person that I had looked at in terms of. I mean, this is a man. Well, of course, you know, I guess he would be intelligent, charismatic, have leadership abilities. We have to remember that Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, did in fact really was one of the architects of the 1979 takeover of the embassy in Tehran. So, you know, it's interesting. And also, too, we have to pay attention to what he is saying, again, because of the he's got a lot to lose. If he makes promises that he really can't keep, then there's the value of his words diminish, of course, like anything else. So I think very carefully, especially over the next 3 weeks, we have to really watch what he says, pay attention to what he says, and really take it literally as opposed to metaphorically.
And Scotland Yard is now reporting, Douglas, that the British investigators disrupted what they believe was a major terror plot to blow up aircraft in flight. What I don't know yet is whether we're talking about shoulder missiles or if these people were going to try to be on the plane and try to blow it up that way. We don't know that yet.
I saw a report here just now, as I'm here reading it too. It doesn't specify, but with the intelligence that we had seen before and also the advisories that we have seen come across our desks, these advisories were talking about bombs aboard airplanes, components of bombs being smuggled onto planes by numerous people, by two or three or several people, independently put together on board and detonated mid-flight.
Douglas, we're going to keep you for some phone calls, okay?
Sure.
When we come back. Now, in this entire situation, and you're in contact, of course, with some heavy people involved in government, are they concerned?
You know, I've noticed a heightened level of concern over the last several days, and I don't know if that's my interpretation, but it just seems like they are. They're a little bit more concerned today, we'll say, than they were a month ago. And I think that a lot has to do with the world events, too. You know, nothing necessarily specific, but everything in general.
I've gotten a couple messages from people who are pretty concerned. They don't know what to do. There's not much you really can do right now. Put faith in law enforcement and the band together because we're all in it together. I mean, that's just the way it is. I think one of the things we need to do, though, as a government, Douglas, is get this situation resolved and find out why these people are doing what they're doing. You know, there's always going to be evil, I think, in this world, no matter what. I don't care how good things are. There's going to be an evil group. They're going to pop up. That's just this planet. It's always been that way, and it always will be. But in terms of what is happening right now, and people are feeling very weird and awkward, we talked about it 2 months ago, and sure enough, all these things are beginning to happen. Can we avoid terrorism at all by trying to deal with everybody and find out exactly why they're so upset? I mean, are they doing this? They're not doing this because it's fun, are they?
Well, no, of course not. And I think what we're seeing, really what I believe, I think what we're seeing is a battle between good versus evil. And I've said that right along. The motivations are the obvious motivations, of course, are religious in nature, twisted religious principles and objectives. I think there are some inherent and more covert objectives at play here, and some of the players too are not necessarily what we'd expect. I think Russia has a lot to do with what.
Sure, and let's not also forget, though, Douglas, that there are some people profiting, making a lot of money on terrorism, and you know what? who's to say that they're not part of this, fueling the fire? It's very possible. Stay with us. Douglas Hagman, our guest on Coast to Coast AM, will open up the phone lines next. And we're going to have open lines next hour. It is a full moon. Let's go to some of the lines now while we have Douglas Hagman from U.S. Homeland Security, U.S.com. We'll pick it up by going west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dot from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Well, I have a few questions for Douglas Hagman.
Yes.
I moved from Miami to L.A. up here to Salt Lake City, and now my daughter's like a flight attendant. Is he speaking of planes here in the United States or the East Coast or over in Britain?
The information that that Mr. Norrie referenced, and in fact, the same information that, I'm seeing right now, is the fact that these are flights that are originating in the United Kingdom, in Great Britain. They're not originating here, and the intention is to number one, rival the fatalities of 9/11, and also to crash, perhaps either take the planes down in midair or crash them into targets inside the United States. That is the information we have. We know that there have been numerous arrests in the United Kingdom, in at least one other European country, and possibly some of in the United States or Canada. I'm not sure which. And that's occurred within the last several hours. It doesn't appear at this point that the planes that they're the plot that they're referencing was to originate on any aircraft inside the United States.
Okay, thank you for your call. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Marcus. I'm from Indianapolis.
Hi, Marcus. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. I'm formerly an Air Force veteran from the first Gulf War, and so I'm kind of like to make a comment about the enemy that we're facing. Too many people are saying that it's just a small percentage of this population that is out to kill us. And even if it is just a small percent, say it's only 1%, you have 1.5 billion of these people in the world that believe this way. Now, even 1%, that's still 10.5 million people that are trying to kill us.
And they have the capability to do that, too.
Yes, they do. I've lived there. I've worked there. I've been amongst these people. I've been to Israel many times. It's a beautiful place, and I really feel for these people. The entire population of that area is only 156 million people in all of the Arab countries, to include Iran. So you have 10% of them right there causing the biggest problem. You know, without sounding like a kook, I say we give them one last chance to straighten up. And then whack.
Yeah, but whack what? What are you going to blow up half the planet? That's the problem.
Well,
you can't do that.
That's the problem. You're right. That's exactly the problem. Yeah. But, you know, we can't play like a lot of these liberals are playing and just go at them with kick gloves. We need to go on the offensive. We need to attack these people and take them down before they can harm us again.
Well, the one thing you have to give the Israelis credit for, Douglas, is that they are not fooling around this time. They got to a point where they said enough is enough. We're tired of the infiltrations. We're tired of the rockets coming in here. We're tired of these sporadic attacks. And they have decided that they're going to end this once and for all, if they can.
And I certainly applaud them, and I want to thank the gentleman that called in too for his service during the first Gulf War. But you know, it's interesting. We've gone through kind of a morphing that you know, we originally started calling this a war on terror. Well, you know, we really can't target terror. Terror is a tactic; it's not a target. We've gone through really a lot of wave of political correctness, where originally the original name for this military campaign by the United States was originally supposed to be Operation Infinite Justice. Of course, there was a lot of the Islamic component there that complained about that name, and we changed it, of course, to Operation Iraqi Freedom. I think we've come from that point to really today to trying to do our best, at least for the most part, to isolate and to really identify the enemy. Of course, you can't take out 1.5 million or billion or however many people. You just can't do that. But, you know, again, applaud Israel, because we're talking about really a nation the size of, what, New Jersey, who alone today alone took 160 missiles into their territory.
Yeah, they lost 15 soldiers today as well. But, you know, what bothers me twofold, Douglas. One, are we being played like a fiddle in that, you know, there's no doubt, you know, 33% of people polled recently believe that our government didn't do anything about 9/11 or might have been complacent with it. You know, those are pretty high figures. When you get 30-some percent of the American people believing there's something strange and wrong going on here, that's too high in my book. Are we being played a fiddle that, you know, the push for this one world government, this push by these people who call themselves the Illuminati, are they using us for fear? Are they using terror for fear in order to accomplish their own goal?
That's a great question. I think we have to look at this, and you mentioned this before. I think we have to look at the our president's globalist, admittedly globalist agenda, really trying to unite Mexico, Canada, and the United States into one large community, so to speak. But to really directly answer your question, I think in a large part of this, the terror attacks on 9/11 were a convenient escalation of the globalist agenda. You know, again, I think there are some people in this country that are running this country that have agendas that are not compatible with our Constitution. The gentleman I spoke to today within the system of government that we have, protecting our country, said, you know, there are good guys fighting this war. There are bad guys that we're fighting against, and there are good guys that are in the government. There are bad guys, and then there are bad good guys, and the bad good guys are the people that we have to look out for. And I think he was referencing that component within our government, which you're referring to.
Yeah. First time caller line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George Douglas. This is Paula.
Hi, Paula.
First of all, I'm a 10-year plus listener.
Well, thank you.
First time I've called.
We appreciate that.
I may or may not have some information on one of the missing Egyptian students. I've sent you an email.
Oh, you know what? And we're forwarding that to Douglas. Now, this is okay. The email you sent me about someone you met online, right?
Right, right. Could you edit out any pertinent information to me, please?
Sure. And you know what? We'll forward that directly to within this bowl or on this notice that's been distributed, which I've got a copy of. There are certain contacts that need to be made aware of this, and I will forward that without your. Keeping you anonymous and just
okay. I also have a chat transcript that's partially in Arabic, so I can't read it. That may actually have the information of where his money is coming from.
Okay, forward that too.
We're getting that all to you, Douglas.
Oh, actually, I have not sent that chat.
All right, send that back to us, and we'll get it to Douglas.
I will absolutely.
Okay, thanks, and we'll continue with final phone calls with our guest Douglas Hagman in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Let me tell you again the story that the British police say they have disrupted what they believe was a major terrorist plot to blow up aircraft in flight, likely between the United Kingdom and the United States, according to Scotland Yard. Here's a statement. It says it is believed that the aim was to detonate explosive devices smuggled on board the aircraft in hand luggage. It is believed that the attacks would have been particularly targeted at flights from the UK to the USA. Arrests were made overnight in London by the Metropolitan Police Department's anti-terrorist branch. Today's arrests, they say, are the culmination of a major covert counter-terrorist operation lasting months. So it sounds like they've had their eyes on these people, Douglas. We would like to reassure the public that this operation was carried out with public safety utmost in our minds. This is a major operation which inevitably will be lengthy and complex, and they will provide further information as soon as possible. Well, I got to tell you, I like the fact that they gave a statement like that, and they're keeping the public informed, and I would hope we would be doing the same thing.
I would hope as well. You know, certainly historically, the reports from the FBI have been few and far between, especially like that. You know, it's just not there.
Well, and if you believe that the TWA Flight 800 was downed by some kind of act, and you look at what the government's position has been all along, you know, you become suspect.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was TWA Flight 800, and then there was the plane crash in Rockaway, New York, following the 9/11. That was on, Veterans Day of 2001. Of course, prior to 9/11, you had Flight 990 as well as TWA 800. So, you know, there's a lot of questions out there that I think there are a lot of questions. And you pointed out, too, earlier, you know, how many, you know, what component, what part of our government perhaps it could be complicit in the or even facilitate this type of activity.
Okay. We'll take some final calls here for you, Douglas. Let's
sure.
go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello. This is Steve from Midland.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, I've been wanting to talk to you about some following the prophets to help us guide us through this situation.
How do we do that?
Well, on July 29th, Art was talking to a gentleman, I believe his first name was John, who had some Bible code information which stated August, atomic, and had to do with Israel. And also Dr. Torrey
had
some information. Had some information, had to do with August, mid-August, end of August, having to do with either an earthquake or atomic, which both of those people also interpret Nostradamus. And I believe also Edward Casey had something mid-August 2006.
Well, Sean David Morton as well. And Art, of course, was talking to John Hogue.
And also, as Jesus Christ said, he also predicted that Israel would remain as a millstone around everyone's neck as we would try to bring peace to the Middle East, but no one could bring it but himself.
Do you think we're in the midst of end times?
I couldn't predict that because he said no one will know the time or the hour, but it sure is interesting.
It sure is. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. West of the Rockies, good morning. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name's Yvonne. I'm calling from BC in Canada.
Sure.
I sort of have a question. What do you suppose the results that the terrorists are looking for by carrying out the terrorist actions that they do in the U.S.? Like, what do you think that they want the outcome to be?
Well, ultimately, their stated goal and objective is for the complete takeover, conversion of the United States from a constitutional form of government to an Islamic theocracy. Now, that's a pretty big goal.
Yeah.
You know, but in
quite
the meantime,
far-reaching.
Of course, but that's the stated goal, and if they can accomplish that through nuclear means, they would do that. But you know, looking at this a little bit differently too, anything that they could do to really disrupt our economy, to bring down the great Satan, as it were. That's what they're looking to do.
Okay, so they're looking at it sort of from a religious aspect, not just as a revenge or...
Correct. I mean, the component that we are fighting in this war is the and we've heard this referred to before is the Islamic mm-hmm. fascist component, and that's what we're fighting. And their stated goal, you know, again, is a complete takeover of the United States and all Western countries that are not Islamic theocracies.
Okay. Well, thank you for the information I have.
Well, sure. One of the big problems, Douglas, is eventually I see even some of these rogue nations are going to get the nuclear bomb. I'm concerned that Pakistan and India have it now, to tell you the truth. But as far as, you know, I'm concerned, what are we going to do about the Iranian situation, which I also believe this could be part of? I think the actions to get Iran may have already started with this this battle that has been going on now for several weeks.
I agree. I think that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at the or assess the situation in the Middle East at this point. Is the actions by Hezbollah, which are definitely proxied through Iran or by Iran, was that a diversionary tactic, or you know, what was the real, what is the real objective of Hezbollah? It wasn't just the kidnapping of the two soldiers; it was an operation that was going on for several weeks prior to the actual kidnapping. You know, there's just an incredibly complex dynamics in the Middle East here, and we've got to really look at this thing not in a vacuum, not as events by themselves, but in the complete scheme of things. And I think you're making really great assessments that I've heard, over the past several weeks.
Interesting article that Jerry Corsi posted on humanevents.com, which is linked up to WorldNet Daily as well. And we've got a link to this article where he talks about Joseph Farah and us here at Coast to Coast. You can find it on the coasttocoastam.com website. And as far as you're concerned, Douglas, your website, of course, continues to get all kinds of hits and information. HomelandSecurityUS.com, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, George, this is Greg from Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah,
first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I just had one question about the professor that stated 22nd of August. I was just wondering his reasoning behind calling that an ominous date for Muslims.
I can't get into it, Greg, without being probably somewhat inaccurate as far as the professor, other than to basically paraphrase the article that was in the Wall Street Journal. And he believes that way back to the moment of Muhammad, that this series of dates is a very special date in the Islamic world. And he feels, based on his interpretation, and several others agree with him, that something catastrophic could occur. It's a moment of a message. And Douglas, even if nothing does happen, that doesn't mean a watchful eye should be out there.
Exactly. And I've heard some debate about the date, the actual date. Some say the 22nd. Others have said it could be even up to the 27th, the exact date of this ascension, which is referenced by the Iranian president. So we can't just stop at the 22nd and breathe a collective sigh of relief on the 23rd. We have to look throughout the month of August and even beyond that, of course.
And you know, I want everybody also to understand, please understand, that there are billions of people on this planet who have their own faith, including Catholics, Episcopalians, Buddhists, Muslims, and the majority of the population on this planet they're good people. And it is unfortunate that a certain specific group is being singled out, but they happen to be the ones now that the few that are fanatics, and they're really, I think, destroying something that was a faith for all their people.
Well said, and we have to be very conscientious of the fact that we cannot group everyone together. Not all Muslims are bad people, and not all Arabs are bad people. Some are Christians. So there's a variety of religions that we're talking about. And I'm very, very afraid, too, if anything does happen in the United States, I'm very afraid of the knee-jerk reaction of middle America against mosques and people who appear to be of Middle Eastern descent. I would not want to see the breakdown of,
Again, all the reason why we need to seal our borders and to do a better job letting people into the country, even here with these Egyptian exchange students, eight of which are missing. They came in legally, Douglas.
They did. It was three out of the 20 were denied visas, and the 17 were approved. They did come into this country legally. They just failed to report as they were supposed to Montana State University.
Yeah, let's hope we find these other eight. I got a strange feeling about this one, Douglas.
I do, too.
All right. Thanks, Douglas. Appreciate you being on the program.
Thanks for having me, sir.
That's Douglas Hagman, HomelandSecurityUS.com, and one of the wonderful luxuries of the program is it switches very quickly. So in a moment, we are going to sit back, try to take a deep breath, and we're going to have full moon open lines. I'll give you a special hotline as well. I'll be back.